And I encourage you to grab the Pew Bible from in front of you if you'd like, or open your Bible if you brought it with you, or follow along on the cover of your bulletin. We'll be starting out in Matthew chapter 6 and then jumping to Psalm 150. It's a little bit of a catch to our scripture reading today. If you are reading in your Pew Bible, you'll notice that Matthew 6:13 in the Pew Bible ends with deliver us from the evil one. But we are not stopping there. We're going further. But to find that text, you actually have to look at the footnote in your Bible to find that. And we will talk about why that is in a few minutes. Hear now the word of the Lord, beginning in Matthew 6, verse 9. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then turning to Psalm 150, the last of the Psalms in the Psalter, we read these glorious words of praise. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flutes. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Well, this morning we are putting a button on our sermon series that we've been working through for the last several weeks. The series has been called Pray Like Jesus, the Lord's Prayer. As we've said, at some point in time, everyone struggles with prayer. Whether it's how to pray, whether it's knowing what to say. Does God hear my prayers? Is God even there? So many different issues with prayer. So it should bring us great encouragement that even the disciples themselves struggled with knowing how to pray, so much so that they even one day asked Jesus, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And His answer, as we've seen, as we've walked through, is a prayer that we all know. If you go to church every Sunday for any period of time, then you probably have gotten to know this prayer very well, which makes the Lord's Prayer a prayer that is, on one hand, incredibly familiar to us, but also a prayer that holds a lot of secret depth that can surprise us when we start paying attention to what it is that we're saying in the Lord's Prayer. Last week, as we looked at the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, we saw that we appeal to God in that petition to deliver us from that which we cannot deliver ourselves. Today, we come to the close and the doxology of the Lord's Prayer. As we said a moment ago, it's a section of the prayer that shows up in the footnotes of your Bible because this text doesn't appear in some of the oldest of the manuscripts that we have. You may know we don't actually have any of the original copies of the Bible. All we have are copies of the originals, and we have hundreds of different manuscripts for the Bible that attest to what is there. And so we figure out the original text by comparing those manuscripts to each other. Well, some of the oldest and earliest of those manuscripts don't have this doxology, but some of the later ones do have it. And we see in this doxology a way of concluding prayer that is very consistent with how the Hebrews prayed throughout the Old Testament and in Jesus' day. So there's a lot of kind of contextual reason to think that these words are legitimate even though the earliest manuscripts don't necessarily have them. And, of course, the words in the doxology are perfectly orthodox to everything else that we read in Scripture as well. And perhaps most poignantly for us today, this concluding phrase of the Lord's Prayer provides us with a crucial postlude to the prayer. As we wrap up our series this morning, we will see that when we remember the point of everything, we can trust God to answer our prayers. Speaking of praying, would you please bow your heads with me? Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for the patience that you show to us and your willingness to meet us where we are. Whether that place is a place of joy and delight or a place of hurt and struggle, you are there. You love us so much that you are always willing to meet us wherever we are. And yet you also love us too much to leave us in those places. You always seek to draw us deeper in relationship with you, to know you more, to walk more closely with you. And so, Lord, we thank you for giving us this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, for all the wisdom and truth that it contains, and the model for prayer that it gives to us. Lord, as we look into this prayer this morning, may we be encouraged to trust you ever more deeply with our prayers and with our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, have you ever asked yourself, what is the point of praying? I think this is a question, if we're not willing to ask it out loud, there surely has come a point in time in your life where maybe you have gone to pray or you have just finished praying, maybe even in the middle of a prayer, and the thought occurs to you, what's the point to doing this? Why do I even bother? Maybe you feel like as you pray, lying in bed at night because you can't fall asleep, that your prayers are going up, just bouncing right off the ceiling and coming back to you. What's the point in praying if there isn't even anybody there to hear me? Maybe you've gotten to that place of frustration where you've prayed faithfully for years, maybe decades, but you have never heard God verbally answer you. What's the point in praying if there's no one there to hear me? I think this question is something we all ask at some point in time, and it's one I think people are asking more and more often these days, if not explicitly, then certainly implicitly. I say that because I see folks respond to people who are struggling by saying some combination of, I'm praying for you and sending good vibes your way. Here's some positive thoughts to encourage you. Without actually saying any encouraging words, but I'm thinking encouraging words on your behalf. Some combination of those things get all wrapped up together, but that kind of statement to do that really ends up muddying the waters so much. It either reduces prayer down to the level of thinking positively, or it attempts to elevate good vibes to the level of prayer, neither of which are actually possible, but attempting to do so, and I'm not saying it's intentional that we're attempting to do that, but attempting to do so has some pretty dire consequences. We all know, I think, at least on some level, if not on the forefront, at least in the back of our minds, that good vibes and positive thoughts, well, they don't actually change anything. They have no intrinsic right or power to impact another person. Now, I'm not saying that positive thinking isn't important, but I am saying that in kind of an ultimate sense from the perspective of doing something that can actually make a difference, positive thoughts and good vibes are actually kind of useless. And I think we all know this deep down inside. But as we blur prayer and wishful thinking and good vibes, there's part of us that wonders if there really is any point to praying at all. And so almost without our realizing it, we continue praying, but we get to a place of not actually expecting any kind of answer to our prayers or for anything to actually happen. And that is why the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer is so important, because it reminds us of the point. The point not just to prayer, but the point actually to, well, everything. When we pray the doxology of the Lord's Prayer, we are declaring the reason that everything and anything happens, but most particularly, our prayers. And what is that point? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In other words, the point of everything is that it is for God. It is through God. And ultimately, it is all about God. As the Westminster Catechism states at the very beginning, we actually read the very last question of the Catechism in our Affirmation of Faith, but if you go all the way back to the beginning, to question one, we are asked my favorite question: what is the chief end of man? In other words, what's the point? What's the point? And the answer, all right, you guys ready? Pop quiz. I love pop quizzes. What is the chief end of man? Come on, sin boldly. What's the point? To glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. It has always been and always will be about God and His glory. And when we remember that it's all about God, especially when we pray, we can trust fully, with complete assurance, that our prayers will be answered. Let's take a look and see how this works. The first thing we note is that because it is all about God, when we pray, we can trust that God has the right to answer our prayers because He is King. For thine is the kingdom. This obviously echoes the earlier petition that we asked, when we said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But it also provides the very reason why we can go to God and ask all six petitions of the Lord's Prayer. It's the reason we can go before Him and pray anything. You only ask something of someone who actually has the authority to grant your request. For example, if you are an employee and you want a raise, obviously you're going to go and ask your coworker. Why? I want a raise. Okay. Because they can do anything about that? No, you go to your boss. Because they're the ones who have the power to actually grant that request. And this is the fundamental problem with good vibes and positive thoughts. Who or what has the ability to see these good vibes or positive thoughts actually come to fruition? This is one of the big problems I have. When I see a snowflake in the 15-day forecast, and by in the 15-day forecast, I mean on the 15th day of the 15-day forecast, right? There's a snowflake there. I start planning my snow day because 15-day forecasts are always 100% reliable, especially in Central Virginia. Never. But I can't help it. I get so excited. And I think to myself, oh, man, I sure hope it's going to snow that day. When I say that, who or what am I expecting to actually grant that request? The weatherman? The weatherman can't cause the weather. He can only tell you what the weather's actually doing. And what the computers tell us the weather is going to do 15 days from now, and computers are always wrong, as we all know. I could perhaps appeal to nature, but nature itself doesn't have any authority either. It just follows the rules, the principles that God has established for it. When our health is in question, what do? Well, we go to the doctor. And we appeal to doctors. When our job is on the line, we appeal to our employers. When we feel our country is in trouble, we turn to our politicians and legislature, so on and so forth. Because we hope and think, at least to some extent, they have at least some authority over the problem. And yet, every single one of those powers that I just mentioned is ultimately limited in its authority. As Jesus said to Pilate during his trial, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above." You see, only Yahweh, only God the Father, has the right and authority to answer our prayers and petitions, because He is the only one true King. The psalm we read earlier concludes not just the entire Psalter, but a series of psalms that begins in Psalm 145 that emphasizes and praises God for His lordship and kingship. In 1 Chronicles 29, David declares, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as the head over all." As we talked about a few weeks ago, when we talked about the holiness of God, and then thy kingdom come, thy will be done, God's sovereignty is complete, which means that everything is ultimately under His authority and His dominion. We do not need to question whether God has the right to answer our requests, no matter what the request is, because everything belongs to Him in the first place. So we can trust Him to answer our prayers, because only He is King, and only He actually has the right to answer our prayers. In addition to being King and having the right to answer our prayers, we can trust that God is able to answer our prayers, because only He has the power to do so. Going back to our issue, our example with the doctor, when you have a health issue, you go to the doctor because you hope they have some authority over that. We know that doctors have the right to address our health issues because of their training and their experience, but we don't really know if they actually have the power to resolve our health issue. But when it comes to lifting our prayers up to God, there can and should be no doubt about His power to answer the prayer. God's power, like God's authority, is absolute. When we say this prayer every week, we are acknowledging that all power belongs to the Father. Not only the power over the entire universe and all it contains, but even the power that resides within all. In the sun to glow, in the winds to blow, in rivers to flow, in plants to grow, so on and so forth. Even the power exercised by sinister forces is His, though they are responsible for its evil use. If it were not His, how would He be able to overrule it for good? Why, At the beginning of the book of Job, do we have the story of Satan, the adversary, going before God and getting permission to test Job? Because the power is God's. And it is because of that ultimate power. That is why evil did not defeat Jesus when he hung on the cross. As the prophet Isaiah reminds us, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Brothers and sisters, when we pray to God, when we lift our prayers up to Him, we are asking the power of God to be at work in our lives and those on whose behalf we pray. There should never be any question or doubt in our minds about whether God is able to answer any request we might bring before Him. Now, the question of whether He will or won't grant us our request leads us to the next phrase in the conclusion of the prayer. Along with God's being king and having the right, as well as being able, because only He has the power, we can trust that God will answer our prayers well, because it is for His glory. That is probably the biggest sticking point for many of us, because we so often don't understand why God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want Him to answer them. So often we pray, and when we do so, we usually go into the prayer knowing the answer we would like God to give and how He would like us to give us that answer, right? And so often, that isn't usually the way it works out. I have to tell you, I don't have any idea how many prayers I've lifted up in my lifetime, hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know. A whole lot of prayers. It's one of the cool parts of my job. I get to do it all the time. I love it. And I might, maybe, be able to count on one hand the number of times God has answered those prayers the way I actually wanted Him to answer them, the way I wanted Him to answer them in the time frame that I wanted Him. You know what? That's probably not true. I don't know that it's ever happened. But I can tell you this. I've gotten really upset with God for not answering my prayers the way and how and why I wanted Him to answer my prayers. But each and every time, God's answers have always been far better than I ever could have imagined or dreamed, even when the answer was no. And especially when the answer was not right now. That's His favorite answer to me, by the way, in case you're wondering. Not right now. And I'm like, no, come on. Why? Please? No, not right now. It's never on my timeline. And it's always been better. To say that God answers my prayers well is to severely understate the truth of that statement. And every single time that I have tried to force the answer that I want, well, it has almost always ended in disaster. Or just bad, if not disaster, every time. God's answers, the answers that He has the right and the power to grant, have always not only been far better than I have wanted or hoped, but also always brought Him far greater glory and honor than any meager effort that I might put forth and bring Him myself. In fact, usually, the way that I want God to answer my prayers has very, very little to do with His glory and a whole lot to do with my comfort. But when God answers the prayers not only is he glorified perfectly, but the answer I receive is so much better than I could have made happen. God answers. God's answers brought in his timing are always perfectly suited to answer my prayer well and to bring him all of the glory and honor. I am not saying that it is easy by any stretch of the imagination to wait on God's timing. And I'm not saying that I understand or even like some of the answers that he has given and continues to give me. But I do know they are always best. As Jesus says in Matthew 7, just a few short verses after this prayer in Matthew 6, he says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." And then I love this part. And they say Jesus wasn't funny. This is awesome. "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake?" Actually, I probably would. I'm just that kind of dad. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Every answer to prayer God gives, even when his answer is no or not yet, is a good gift given from a heavenly Father who loves you more than you could ever imagine. A good gift that will ultimately glorify him. So we can trust that God will answer our prayers well, because that is what will bring him the most glory. And so we come to the final word of the prayer, a word that we say at the end of most every prayer: Amen. This word is used throughout the Old and the New Testament to affirm and confirm the truth of all that has come before it. More colloquially, we might say, "Let it be as you say." Let it be so. To speak an amen is to attest to the sincerity of our words and our conviction that God the Father will attend to our needs and requests. It is, in one brief word, to make an ultimate statement of trust in God's right as King, ability due to having the power, and willingness to glorify himself by answering well our prayers. So when we reach the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded that God himself is the point of everything. And because of that, we can rest assured that he has the right to answer our prayers, because he is the one true and only King. That he is able to answer our prayers because only he has the power to actually do so. And that he will answer our prayers well, because the answers he gives will bring him the most glory. As we move into the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning, and as you go through your week this week, may we all trust God more fully to more and more answer our prayers, because he truly is the point of everything. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen indeed, Lord. May it be so.